Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one podcast for the sweetest men in all of Sweet Town. I am your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Razor Man Cumulo.
How are you, sweet man?
Doing good. How is your sweetness today?
My sweetness is so sweet. And to add on to that sweetness, we have a very special guest, Mr. Kevin Moose from Junk Food Dinner, your other show. How are you doing, Kevin?
Sweetness is my weakness.
Then get ready to get weak all over the place.
How are you guys doing? You guys both came back from the Mothra Rift tracks.
Yep, it was fun. Mothra got Rift. Mm-hmm. It's always a good time. Although, so now I complained this week on Junk Food Dinner about how I don't like the assigned seating at the movie theaters. I got another old man gripe. They got these new leather recliners, which sound awesome on paper, but they suck. There's only two positions, totally reclined or like stiff as a board. The back of the seat's got no give. I need the give.
Yeah, I remember playing Total Recline or Stiff as a Board at a sleepover.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was tough, man. It sounds like we went to the same theater, though, because we were just talking beforehand how we went to go see Rift Tracks. And it's like, yeah, okay. And then you mentioned the assigned seating. And I'm like, huh. And then you mentioned that it's like leather reclined chairs. I know this is a thing that's going on across the country. And you're back in Ohio and I'm in Arkansas. But still, we may have been at the same theater because it sounds so similar.
Yeah.
I have the same gripes. I was like trying to relax. I'm like, no, I'm too relaxed and I'm sleepy. I got to sit up straight. And I was like, nah, I can't do this because I want to relax a bit. So, yeah.
Yeah. Give me the old shitty movie theater seats any day of the week.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little bit torn on these recliners. We got them where I'm at. And, like, immediately I like them because they're cozy.
Yeah, they seem great at first.
Yeah, you can, like, spread out in a chair, you know, you got leg room and all this. Mm-hmm. But the thing I hate most about – well, I hate two things about them is if you recline all the way back, then you're getting all this popcorn all over your shirt. It's falling everywhere. It's falling in the cracks of the seat. It's a mess.
Yeah, you just look like a lethargic jerk.
That's true. And then also, I hate that they're like twice as big as normal seats, which means every showing...
So that's for the fat people. Come on.
Well, yeah, it's for the fatties out there. But that means that every showing of every movie is sold out now. Because
they like it.
Yeah, they're fitting like 17 people in. The entire first row is for handicapped people. And I know that there's... 10% of a 70-person theater at any one point is not going to be handicapped people. It's not like all the handicapped people are getting together to go see Sausage Party on the weekend, all in the same theater at the same time. So all those seats are always empty. It's like a whole thing. I can never see a movie now. They're always empty. They're always sold out.
Is Sausage Party like the not the demographic for handicapped populations?
No, the handicapped populations love Sausage Party.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So that's why they're – okay.
Well, that's a movie that handicapped people really like.
The mentally handicapped.
No, the physically handicapped because they're represented by that character Gum. You remember him.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet. Have you both seen it?
I saw it.
I see.
Kevin saw it. Kevin hates it.
I did. I thought it was dumb.
It looks dumb. And I'm usually into dumb-looking films, but it looks real, real trying hard at dumb stuff.
Yeah, it was – well, that's the thing. It wasn't trying very hard as far as I'm concerned.
That's even worse.
Yeah. And as I've stated many times, I went into it with an open mind. I was ready for dumb, but what I got was dumber than I could even handle. You know, it's like you go to McDonald's. And you get a Big Mac. You're not expecting a filet mignon, but you're not expecting shit smeared on it either.
Yeah.
Me and Corey from Illogical Conception, we're both pro Sausage Party.
I don't get this.
It's funny. There was funny parts. Like, they killed that stoner, you know? Well, sorry for his being. Things happen. Like, I think it's real violent. It's very
you don't have to apologize to me, man. Like, I didn't see this thing, so I don't really plan on it either. You can spoil away. All listeners, if you plan on seeing Sausage Party, Parker's going to make a case for it right now.
Well, it gets very fun. It's very fun. I don't know. It's like madcap shenanigans. Like, there's people doing drugs. They're tripping out.
People or food products?
You know, the one thing I like about Seth Rogen, he never uses this tripping out on drugs as like a comedic crutch, and he did it. he pulled it off in this one.
Yeah, you think that's
that's sarcasm.
Issue with it?
Oh, yeah, he always uses that as comedic breath.
I was like, I don't understand this point.
I thought he did it this time, except not very well. It was like going to be your argument.
No, yeah. That's exactly it. Yeah, he does it all the time.
Gotcha.
We get it, Seth Rogen. You do drugs.
He does love drugs. I don't know. There was some cute guys. I thought the Twinkie character was very cute.
All right. Well, yeah, I got some Minion stuff I want to sell you as well.
Well, I like that stuff, too.
I know you do.
Some of my favorite stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. What do you guys, outside of that, what have you guys been up to?
I've been traveling a lot, as you're well aware. Oh. Like, I just got back on Monday or Sunday night. Yeah.
Yeah, you went to that Canada.
I did, yeah.
Ooh, the Great White North.
In the greatest and the whitest. Let me tell you, Waka Waka, these are the jokes.
Are you talking about white people?
Huh?
You talking about white people? They got those there?
Yes, that's exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah, they're white up there.
Yeah, there was... white. Well, jokes aside, I was in Toronto, and I was pretty thrilled because I got to see like a Tim Hortons. In the same way that like I went to Chicago just a few days before then, and I was thrilled because there's a White Castle within walking distance from my hotel room. Like, these are things that I miss. They don't have these in the South, so.
But you got those Bojangles and Crystals to make up for it.
Unfortunately, where I'm at, which is like mid-South, they don't have those either. I have to go to like New Orleans to get Crystals or Mississippi, but I'm not going to Mississippi.
What do they got down there?
No sliders. Actually, movie theaters do like the Frozen White Castle stuff, but come on.
You got to eat it frozen?
I'm not going to eat it frozen. I don't got to, but I'm not going to either.
That was in conjunction with the movie Frozen. They just kept it.
I think so. They're like, this product placement has to stay.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite movie to restaurant tie-ins is when White Castle just sold frozen ass food and expected you to eat it.
But yeah, Canada was pretty wild. Like, met some cool folks there. I met some unusual folks there. I went to like what I thought would be a locals bar, and it was about as weird as you could probably expect a locals bar to be in a major city like that, like Toronto. Like, I think I probably should have stuck with more with bars like geared towards young people. I thought, no, this will be great. They're singing karaoke in there. And then you go inside and it looks like a David Lynch film or something. Like, oh boy.
It's just all Guess Who songs.
They were singing Pet Shop Boys. And there was this guy who had just moved from Japan who was like flipping out over it. Like, he was singing the loudest along with it. I was like, you're a big fan of the Pet Shop Boys. Like, I saw them at the Budokan. I'm like, wow. That part wasn't weird. That was cool. But then, like, I'm getting chat up by much, much older ladies than I'm used to be
getting
chat up by.
Nice.
And, not this. This was not nice. I was basically like, I downed my drink. Like, are you going to sing? And I'm like, I'm going to jet. Thanks, though.
Oh, you should have sang. Should have seduced them with song.
Yeah.
I was going to try to find something that was like kind of struck a balance. So I was going to try to find like a song by the band.
Yeah, that's Canadian. You have to have like 10% Canadian content when you do karaoke there, just like their television and radio.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, I noticed you really love American films, but like you still have like that 10% of American film or Canadian films there. But also there's like an Arkansan in the band. So I figured like, hey, this will be a neat thing to sort of jive.
You're bridging the gap.
I am trying to, but they didn't have any good songs. They just had like The Weight, and I didn't want to annoy them with that. I was going to sing like The Night They Burned Old Dixie Down and see what they thought of like really gross American history. So, but no, nothing doing. So I just jet. So I had a really good night. I had a really awkward night, and still a lot of fun in between. Good stuff. I recommend it. Everybody should go to Toronto at least once. And study your Canadian geography because they find that endearing.
Nice. Did they like grill you? Like when you got into the bar, were they like, hey man, do you know where Manitoba is?
Yeah, they did. Oh, shit. They asked me if I knew what the can capital you was.
Can you point to Medicine Hat on a map?
They're like, what is this a picture of? A moose? You got lucky. Yeah, it's part of that cultural exchange, like Kevin mentioned, is that there's a ton of American shit up there. Like, they've got plenty of Canadian stuff to be proud of. Like, I grew up watching Kids in the Hall and listening to a lot of Canadian bands.
A lot.
Yeah, come on. They've got,
Sloan.
Yeah,
Shadow that crash. Shadow yeah, Planet.
Yeah, that crash test dummies.
Yeah, Alanis Morissette. Yeah, right?
Yeah. They've just got the Kids in the Hall, Jim Carrey, and Alanis Morissette. Outside of that, they have no culture whatsoever. And Tom Green. They got Tom Green.
Hey, the Bare Naked Ladies will thank you to include them there.
And Michael Myers,
Halloween?
Yeah, that's... But yeah, we were totally informed by him and most of SCTV cast members, if not all of them. I forget how many it was. Well, Dan Aykroyd, come on. We wouldn't have conspiracy theories as popular as they are without him. Or the male-gendered Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Right?
As they're known now.
Yeah.
Right.
The fake Ghostbusters.
Is that a new cartoon show on Saturday mornings?
There's
the real Ghostbusters from the late 80s and then the fake Ghostbusters.
Yeah, the fake Ghostbusters is a thing I'm working on where it's like four dudes, but like nobody believes that they're really Ghostbusters because like other new Ghostbusters moved into the neighborhood and completely erased them from Google.
Oh, I see.
They're fake Ghostbusters, you see.
Yeah, in a world where everybody's childhood is ruined.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, there's no childhoods on this show. Like, you're born, and then you're instantly a dude. Like, you're instantly, like, a full-ass grown-up dude.
A bitter, bitter man.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, but it was rad. And Chicago was fine. It was okay. I went to a hot dog festival.
Whoa, what?
Yeah, I did. Hot dog festival.
Define festival.
Like the Webster's Dictionary definition.
Well, yeah.
I don't know this word.
Merriam-Webster refers to it as a noun, a large gathering of people.
Juggalos?
Yeah, they were there. Whoop whoop to all the juggalos who were hanging out. They had guest speakers. They had a podium for guest speakers talking about the advancements in hot dogs.
Oh, man, did they have Abe Froman there, the sausage king of Chicago?
I did not check the itinerary, but I would not be surprised. They had people with, like, PhDs talking, though. So, and a crowd. Like, a group of people sat over to watch them. But I think it might have been because it was, like, one of the few shaded areas of Lincoln Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But,
Wait, so
yeah.
These guys had PhDs in hot dogs?
Dr. Hot Dog.
Yeah.
They were Dr. Dog, the musician. So he sang some indie jams for him and then preached to them about why steamed buns are superior to just buns straight out of the bag.
Yeah. Did they have like a whole like lecture about how chili dogs consist of a hot dog, a bun, chili, not beans, cheese, and onions and mustard, and that's that? No other crazy ass horseshit. No jalapenos. No fucking sour cream or anything like this.
For chili dogs, I don't know. Like they were talking about a lot of different ways you could dress up a dog in this.
Man, Dr. Bowman should have given a speech.
Yeah,
yeah. It sounds like
I'm very passionate about this. That's fine.
So
if
were
you
people at this festival? Like you had to trade in your money to get pup bucks. Dog dollars. I think they were called dog dollars.
I was hoping there was like two kinds of currency competing for supremacy at this festival.
Yeah, there's like a currency exchange midway through. Like when you cross.
Man, I got like three dog dollars, but like six pup bucks.
what's the fucking exchange rate on this?
Yeah, that's how they get that. Yeah, that would be oddly accurate because you have to do weird math to line up the eight hot dogs that come in a package with the six hot dog buns that come in a package. So that's how you would have to deal with that currency when you're there.
Yeah, exactly. It's all very confusing.
Becomes a horrible math problem.
Mm-hmm. It was rough stuff. Rough stuff, you see. But there was also some really good vendors there. And I guess they were mostly like...
Like Futurama cosplay?
Hot dog flavored cotton candy?
Unfortunately, none of those things you just mentioned. But they did have a Doritos dog that was pretty rad. And it wasn't just...
What's it just dusted with Doritos dust?
That's what I thought. I was like, listen, if I'm here to be ridiculous and eat some stupid foods, then I'm just going to get a Doritos dog because why not? But it had more than just crumbled up Doritos on it. It also had jalapenos, had this crazy spicy cheese sauce, had ground beef just kind of slipped onto it. It actually looked really well done. For a hot dog. I mean, it's not like a fucking steak or anything. You're like, wow, they really did a number with this. It's like, oh, great. You threw some shit on a hot dog. Thanks.
I assume that's what the whole festival is, just throwing shit on hot dogs.
And then people eating it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also live bands. So I was enjoying some smooth Rastafarian, reggae music.
You know,
I was enjoying like some they covered The Harder They Come, though, so that was good. That was
all right.
They did a really good version of that, but the guy was talking it up in between songs like, we love being here at the hot dog festival, it's our favorite time of year. He's like, please no pictures, my wife doesn't know I'm playing this, she thinks I'm visiting family in Ohio. And I'm like, yay Ohio.
Did they change the lyrics of the song, like, the hotter the bun, the hotter the dog, one and all?
Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite genre of music, is reggae that sounds like it's about hot dogs.
Yeah.
That's what I'm into. I like that Bob Hungry. He does all my right. favorite stuff.
Get out of town.
Dog Hungry. I don't know. He's the only reggae guy I know. Well, what was the best dog you had there, Frisbee?
Probably the classic chili dog that I did have there. Between that and Doritos dog. Doritos dog was really interesting, but you get all like that Doritos shrapnel on top. The roof of your mouth is in danger, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the chili dog, the way they performed it was... performed it the way they handed it to me was classic chili, none of that bullshit you were talking about earlier, with some onions and kind of like melted cheese. I think it was like almost like a cheese sauce. It wasn't like the mound of shredded cheese like the Coney's that the three of us are so used to in the Southwest Ohio area. So that was a bit to get used to, but it was still good. Still very tasty. And there was only one person selling chili dogs. I'm like, I might as well do a chili dog summer send up. And there's only one place doing it.
That's like the main kind of hot dog there is chili dogs.
Well, not in Chicago.
Not Chicago, yeah. They got their own game they like to play.
They think they do, yeah. And they think they've got like awesome pizza. But
I do enjoy a Chicago dog, to be honest with you. Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. Dayton, they used to have that Pug's Dogs, which would do a mm-hmm. Chicago dog like pretty well, passable, with the poppy seed bun and all that shit. Yeah. And what else was in there? Like a whole slice of, like the lengthwise cut pickle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some hot peppers.
Tomato.
It's like a tiny sandwich.
Yeah. It was like,
they're not fucking around.
It's mostly
that super neon green relish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's sea salt, I think, or.
Celery salt,
yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, celery salt.
It's almost a salad, that Chicago dog.
Yeah. Almost, but then there's like that giant hot dog, like, guess who's here?
Yeah.
Me, the main star from Seth Rogen's Sausage Party. I hope you enjoy.
It's the weirdest bit of product placement that they had there at the hot dog festival. Well, yep. Hot dogs are stupid. Let's talk about podcast down ruined them for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Talking about
too much of a good thing.
I'm tired of looking at him. Even when I was there, I'm like, I guess I'm doing this because there was a big festival. Like that was the thing going on that weekend.
Yeah.
All right.
Good thing we didn't just talk about it for 15 minutes.
Jesus. What else can we talk about for 15 minutes?
Do you want to talk about this email we got for 15 minutes? Or for like 1 minute because we got to do the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, we all need to sleep eventually. So here it is. Jonah Ray killed my Twitternality / boss dads. And this is from Matthew, so thanks for writing in, Matthew. And he says...
And just to clarify, this is not the sweet man.
No, this is a completely different Matthew.
This a new man. Matthew. Well, new from, Matthew. Now on, from now on, you go by Matt. It's too confusing.
Okay, this is from Matt. And he says, Pool Party Radio, Studulous Frisbee, Ultimate Parker. Yes, 'tis true. I was cruelly Twitter killed without appeal for threatening Jonah Ray, in parentheses yet again. I really have no excuse, since this was at least the third time I was threatening him. I said I was going to drop a cinder block on his head in an alleyway. I guess it got too real for him. I also told Paul F. Tompkins I was going to slit his abdomen. Oh, I didn't read this far ahead in this email. Sorry. Slit his abdomen so his intestines spill onto the street like cooked spaghetti. Mm-hmm. This might have done it too. Oh, well, lesson learned. Anyways, I returned under an alternate personality, but don't tell the Twitter thugs lest they find me. Also, here's my dad for review. The picture's kind of blurry, but take a look at this model-looking motherfucker. What the hell, Dad? I received none of those good looks. Freaking bum. Anyways, can't wait for sixth grade. If you boys ever want to party in Tucson, hit me up. Love, Matt. I added the love part. But there's a picture of his dad. Yo, that's a handsome pops. He's got like a chiseled jaw and everything. That's great.
Yeah, this is one of the better dads I've ever seen. Like, he does look like a male model. Aside from the fact that he's got like a kind of a bad haircut.
I mean...
It's not horrible or anything.
Yeah, but look at those arms. He's great. He's got, and he looks like a good dad.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the best thing about this dad, you can't see him, Kevin, but I think you would appreciate this, is that he's playing a child like a guitar.
I like that.
And he's totally committed to the bit. Like, he's looking off into the distance while the kid's like looking at the camera with this kind of, geez, here we go again face.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good deal. This is a great dad.
Yeah, this is a really good dad. I'm giving this dad 4 out of 5 dads.
He's even got like a cleft-looking chin. God damn.
Yeah, he's pretty good-looking as far as dads go.
I'm embarrassed for myself. I don't look this good.
What's this dad wearing? Describe his outfit to me.
He's wearing a tank top?
Yeah, like a gray tank top showing off those muscles, those big muscles.
Mm-hmm.
We can't see, it's cut off at the waist, so we don't know what kind of shoes he's wearing. He's hanging out with a dude. There's a dude in the background wearing flip-flops. I don't appreciate that kind of shit, though.
Is that a dude or is that a lady? Are those shorts or is that like a knee-high skirt, like a summer skirt?
Well, dudes can wear skirts, Frisbee. It's 2016, and we don't really have to like pay attention to that kind of like gender binary crap anymore, so...
Well, this photo was taken like 20 years ago, so... They probably cared about it back then.
That's true. Yeah, it might be a lady. Still, flip-flops aren't it doesn't matter what gender you are. Don't be wearing those flip-flops.
Yeah, that's rough. What if you got to run somewhere? You're going to look like an idiot.
Yeah, or what if you just want to, like, if you go into, like, an eatery and you're forcing people who are eating to look at your goddamn gross, filthy-ass feet and toes?
Man, I hate it when people walk in with flip-flops to the eatery I'm eating at.
Man, I know. You're just there trying to eat your food. You're at your favorite restaurant. It's called Fried Food or Frying the Food. People coming in with toes. Stir Fry or Frying the Food.
Was that from Ilkhan when we were on there?
Yeah.
Was that like, what's your favorite type of food?
Stir fry or frying the food?
Frying the food. Yeah.
Yeah. We were on Illogical Contraption last week, so go listen to that at illogicalcontraption.com. We played a game and we lost.
It was very fun to listen to, though.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. Yeah. Parker, I can't believe how many Parker just completely guessed and got right. It was really impressive. We were all stunned. I think Corey was trying to play off like, oh, did you guys cheat or something? But I don't blame him for kind of sliding that in there because it did kind of sound like we were cheating at first, but we did not.
Yeah, I just know my Frisbee.
You know? You do, buddy. It was very endearing. I felt so embarrassed that we lost.
Yeah.
We had such a good lead.
That's true. Well, you know, yours were all very – you got like the answers 90% correct.
Yeah, they were like –
judges were harsh.
He likes wearing a shirt. that's white, and they're like, oh, it's black. Like, yeah. Damn it.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you, Matt, for the email. I really hope that you do get to kill Paul F. Tompkins and Jonah Ray. They suck. And
well, let's not be encouraging listeners to kill people.
Yeah, I don't wanna be responsible for that.
Even if it's Paul F. Tompkins, though. I mean, like, if it's gonna be anybody.
I don't know, man. He's kind of, when people talk about like listening to podcasts, they would talk about listening to the Paul F. Tomcast or anything that he was on and doing. So kind of have to begrudgingly give a nod to people who made this stuff popular.
Nope.
Or at least.
No. We were doing junk fod before Paul F. Tompkins was doing his show, and him making podcasts popular has only ruined them for us.
Yeah,
we don't have to thank him for anything.
Yeah, that's definitely what's ruined podcasts for us. For sure. It's like a comedian celebrity doing them. Yeah.
Well, it's ruined them for me as a listener, because now I got to listen to 7 minutes of Stamps.com commercials before every episode.
Oh, shit. Never mind. Yeah, you're right. That stuff sucks.
Yeah, kill the dude. Come on.
Yeah, kill the Paul F. Tompkins.
Well, don't kill the dude, but, you know.
Kill Twitter. Yourself. Wink. That's the new code phrase for kill Paul F. Tompkins. So now we're going to do the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is a thing we've been doing for the last bunch of weeks where we're doing.
Yes.
We're taking a grade, first grade, second grade, et cetera, and then doing good, bad, and ugly examples or stories or anecdotes from that year. This, I had to rack my brains to think of three memories in general from this year. Like,
oh, really? Seventh grade was a very memorable year for me.
Yeah, same here. So we'll make up for the blurry year that it was for you.
Cool. Yeah, this was a year that I was like wasted all the time, so I don't remember anything.
For real?
Nah. I didn't get it.
I was going to say, you were like Linda Blair, Diary of a Teenage Alcoholic?
Yeah.
That's a good reference.
I had a huge wreck and everything.
Yeah, eighth grade is going to be my blurry year because I was on a lot of like prescription drugs for reasons we'll get to when we do that show. So yeah, I don't have like a ton of memories for that one.
Those reasons were to dull the pain of being alive, I bet.
Yeah. And then we started doing this podcast, which is about the awfulness of being alive.
That's true.
Started this in eighth grade.
Uh-huh. Yep. I was doing it in tandem, although we had no idea we were doing it at the same time.
Yeah, it was really weird. I was just talking to myself into a mic, just waiting for somebody to respond.
Exactly. Same. Same.
So yeah, Kevin, since this was a memorable year for you in particular, what is your good moment from seventh grade?
Well, as we'll talk about when we get to the bad, seventh grade was kind of a lonely time for you, young Kevin Moss. I think my seventh grade is probably more like what you guys were talking about when you're talking about sixth grade, because the way my fucked up school district worked is that there was no middle school. There's no junior high. You went from kindergarten to sixth grade at the grade school, and then you went from 7th to 12th grade in all one building, just a giant fucking high school. So you go to like from being, you know, the biggest kid or surrounded by kindergartners and third graders and shit, and then you literally walk in and you're going to school with like dudes with mustaches and stuff. So it's quite jarring. Mm-hmm. But also, like you, Parker, I think you mentioned that when you went out of grade school, you had like a group of friends that went to one school and you went to another school. And that was the way it happened for me. Like half or more of my friends went to another high school. So, and we also moved. So it was a big transition year for me, but unfortunately it wasn't a year where I was doing a lot of human interaction. But my good, it was a good year to not have a lot of human interaction, because there was the television of 1995 was really unparalleled. Like MTV alone, I could watch from the time I got home from school till the time I went to bed. You know, you had your Beavis and Buttheads, your The State, Singled Out, Aeon Flux. It was all there. The Brothers Grunt. And not to mention that it was, you know, prime time for a lot of like alternative and gangster rap, which I loved at the time as well. So, and then, you know, you had another good thing entertainment wise was this new house that we moved to was in walking distance to a video store, 5-star video. And it was great because I could just literally walk up there. I didn't have to wait for my parents to want to go to the video store, you know, because that was the thing when you're before you have your driver's license, you're at the mercy of your parents to go to the video store. Now I can literally walk right up the street and rent videos. It changed the way I watched movies because I was just, you know, renting stuff constantly. And they didn't care if it was R-rated or anything. So
nice.
The world of viewing in seventh grade was a total good for me. So that is my good.
It sounds like this was the spark for your video watching habits. Like you just got to do it en masse. Was there did you find yourself getting attracted to more cult films like immediately? Or was that something that started sooner before this time?
Well, I mean, yeah, I would just watch whatever was at the video store. But usually because it was an independent store and it was pretty small, it tended to be pretty hip. They had some cool stuff. So, you know, obviously as just a kid, you just gravitate towards what looks awesome. Like I remember this was around the time, I believe, or maybe a little later, where they reissued Heavy Metal on VHS. And I remember going there and getting that and just being, because, you know, it looked like fucking He-Man with boobs. And I was like, all right, I'm into that.
It's perfect.
Yeah. But yeah, no, everything was great. I mean, on TV, besides MTV, you had like Mystery Science Theater 3000. This was prime time for The Simpsons, prime time for the Howard Stern E Show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just tons of like any. I just would go in the basement. It's where we had a TV. We had hooked up to cable. And most days after school, I would just, that's where I'd spend, you know, the vast majority of my time. And it was right before the internet was a thing for most people. So, you know, you were still relying on television to get, you know, your information. Another great thing, speaking of getting information, I think my mom, the saint that she is, you know, realized that this transition year was rough on me. So she let me like subscribe to like 5 different magazines that year, which was normally unheard of. 1 subscription, maybe. But yeah, I was, you know, getting the Fangorias, the Rolling Stones, the Mad and Cracked. I mean, come on.
Nice. Oh, so, man.
I was living in a nerd's paradise.
Yeah, that's definitely how you knew you were the 1% as a kid, as if you had Cracked and Mad.
Yeah.
Tippy top of the heap if you were rocking both of those.
To be fair, though, that's like when a 12-month subscription to Cracked was like $7.
The good old days.
Mm-hmm.
Getting Cracked magazine for 89 cents. That's how I knew I was getting old, is when I started noticing and complaining about the price of Fangoria and Cracked.
Like, yeah.
Last month this was 85 cents, and now it's up to 95? What's going on in this world?
As you shake your cane at the cashier.
Yeah. My good is very similar to yours, and it's that this was the year I found 2 things that more or less changed the way I would view entertainment and art and stuff like that. I found The State and I found The Ramones.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was I never looked back.
Yeah, this is also around the time that I found out about The Ramones. Do you remember like how you first heard about The Ramones? Because it's always kind of weird because like it's not something like you might see it on MTV, but maybe not.
I think they might have been on The Simpsons before this, maybe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's true. And I think I saw them on Howard Stern.
Yeah, they were on Howard Stern a lot.
I remember they're also on Space Ghost Coast to Coast. And they steal Moltar's birthday cake or something. Like they had photoshopped these birthday hats onto the Ramones as they're sitting there and they wheel out a birthday cake.
Yeah, that was a little bit after this because I remember being fully already into the Ramones when that happened. I think that the place where I first learned that I had to let them be my favorite band was they played an MTV Movie Awards where they played like whatever the top 5 songs were that were like the, you know, going to that were nominated for like best song in a movie. The Ramones came out and covered those 5 songs as a medley.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, fuck, like these are 5 songs that fucking suck, but this band doing them, they're like the best songs I've ever heard in my fucking life. Like who the fuck is this band? So I convinced my mom to take me to CDX, which was a place in Heber Heights run by a hippie. And I bought the Animal Boy album. And
nice.
It was the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love the first thing I bought was the Ramones Mania, the greatest hits record.
Yeah, I got that one second.
And that's, yeah, if that doesn't get you going on the Ramones, I don't know what will.
Yeah. Yeah, those Ramones and also the state. Like, just seeing, I remember thinking at the time, this is a thing that could get you in trouble. at the time, I was I guess The Simpsons was like that too at the time. But, just watching Saturday Night Live and stuff like that, this is fun, goofy comedy. But then the state was fuck, these dudes are how are these guys on TV? How are they not getting in trouble for this kind of stuff?
Yeah. I have a very vivid memory of seventh grade being in shop class and making a kid laugh so hard that he cried by reciting line for line, word for word, the tenement sketch from the state where they had to soften the language for television.
Yeah.
I had that thing memorized and I did a perfect version and it made a kid cry. He was laughing so hard.
Yeah, I love that sketch. I'm always calling my wife a fudge eating nickel picker and stuff like that. Just screaming poop. Mr. Frisbee, what is your good?
My good is that seventh grade was probably my most socially outgoing year.
Oh, shot over here.
Yeah.
Hey, it was only for that year though, so relax. But it was nice because, I mentioned the past couple times, there was a move, and usually I would have just one or two friends, and that was really it. So this was a good experience to be able to have people over, go over to other people's houses, and generally yuck it up. It was a fun time. But yeah, as we'll find out, that kind of turned sour later. But I don't think I had another school year before or after that was this socially active until college.
Everything else. Active.
No, I was a sweet young man, a young boy. Right. I was a good kid. So I.
You weren't yet the notorious puss smasher that we've all known you to become.
Well, I'm pretty sure there's an ol in front of that, so it sounds like it's a timeless snomaker, but I just didn't know it at the time. But yeah, it was fun. The entire year was fun, which was unusual because normally school sucked because I didn't know anybody.
Did you ever have school sucks written on your backpack?
I had school suck on my backpack. I was like, yeah, that was there. But I didn't have school sucks.
With an X,
yeah. I don't even remember doing shit to my locker. I would see other people decorating their locker and whatnot. And I was I should really get on this. And I just close it and get on to class. Did you guys ever decorate shit, whether it's your backpack or your locker or anything?
Yeah, I remember. Specifically, I had a nice big Green Day Dookie sticker in my locker seventh grade year.
Nice. Yeah, I don't think I had anything in my locker. I got a cool computer. My stepdad bought a cool computer around this time, maybe this year, seventh grade.
That was the brand name. Cool computer.
Yeah, they're not around anymore.
It was that and Gateway.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Dad, get a cool computer.
Get a Gateway. Dude, you're getting a cool computer.
Well, it was cool in that it worked and didn't run on DOS or anything like that, the computer we had previously. But yeah, I would just print out pictures of the Ramones and Green Day and stuff and hang them on my wall. But I never – my room. But I never took them to school or anything to put in my locker. I didn't care about my locker. I didn't care about anything going on in school.
Yeah, I didn't do shit with my locker either. I didn't have a mirror in there. I didn't put up pictures of anything. I think I intended to, but it never came about.
You didn't have an Evil Dead poster in there, the kids from Stranger Things?
Because they loved Evil Dead so much.
Mm-hmm. 6 months after it came out on three screens.
Yep.
Yeah, I always loved in like 80s movies, it always seemed like dudes had like just porno plastered all in their locker. It's like, I could never get away with that shit. Like, I don't know if my school's just uptight or what, but these people are just brazen about it.
I know. Yeah, I think I knew some people like that who, well, like maybe not porn, but like they had like a poster of like Sonny from the WWF in like the back of their locker.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like pretty cool, but like I don't know what the benefits are. Like you just get to see a picture of Sonny like every couple hours.
Yeah, I had a poster of Sonny from Cocoa Puffs in the back of my locker.
Well, you were cuckoo for them at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
To say the least.
Looking good, Sonny. Stay cuckoo.
Mm-hmm. What is your bad, Kevin?
Well, my bad, you know, like I mentioned or alluded to in my good, seventh grade sucked. It was a time when, you know, like I was in a class of, because we had a bunch of different grade schools and they all filtered into a giant high school. So, you know, you go from small classes, knowing everybody, you know, being like the class clown, and like then you're just in a school, you're just anonymous. And that, you know, that was fine. I had my MTV, I had my cracked magazines, but it did suck, you know. And like, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, Midwestern, suburban school, all about sports. I had no fucking interest in sports whatsoever. I had no interest in anything, like even the like artistic stuff. I didn't want to be in like drama or chorus or anything. I didn't want to be involved in anything. I just wanted to watch my MTV and read my crack magazines. So needless to say, it was an awkward time, and you kind of find yourself wondering like, am I ever going to talk to somebody ever again? Or is it just me and Alfred E. Newman forever? So that kind of sucked. But, you know, as things usually do, things got better as school went on. I wasn't bullied or anything, though. That's the thing. I can't really complain, because it's not that like I was bullied or picked on or made fun of. It's like literally just invisible to everybody else.
That's what most of middle school felt like for me, aside from like seventh grade.
Yeah.
And high school, really, for that matter. Like, I tried getting into extracurriculars then, but it still was just like, what am I doing this for? I just want this to end.
Well, and see, that's the weird thing. I feel like a lot of people, like in high school, they appropriate some sort of look, you know, or some sort of thing to be like, hey, look at me.
Where like identity.
Yeah, I kind of liked being invisible. Like, I, you know, just tried to dress as absolutely normal as possible. Nothing outlandish. Just, I'm not even here.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. I think maybe not in seventh grade, but I think like in ninth grade, like that's when I was like, fuck this shit. I'm going to just have green hair from now on. That's going to be my thing. And yeah, when you go into school, it's probably not like that now. But I think like every single kid has green hair. But back then, if you went into school with green hair, like you're definitely going to get called fag all day, and you're definitely probably going to get beat up. And
yeah, I don't need that.
Yeah, I should have just not even worried about it. But, you know, what are you going to do? When you like rancid, it's a prerequisite. You got to dye that hair. So,
right.
Yeah, my bad is similar in that in sixth grade, like I was like sort of reacclimating because it, like my friends all went to a different school and I got stuck in this other school with nobody I really knew. And then once we got to seventh grade, because there were so many like students, we got split up into pods, they called them.
Ooh.
Which were like, you know, in like.
And now you're a podcaster. Interesting.
And I like that Pod People movie, Invasion of the Poddy Snatchers. But like, yeah, so like you would get split up and then like you would just never see. Like there was like three or four pods like that, it, you know, everybody in the grade got broke up into, and like you would be on separate sides of the building, you'd be like separate lunches, like those people were just dead to you. So like 1/4 of my friends after, you know, reacclimating and gaining a few friends were just like dead forever to me.
They got snatched by the pod people.
Exactly.
They were potty snatched.
Yeah, I was really good friends with Kevin McCarthy and he got taken. It was a shame. And yeah, so I had I mean, like, I had a few friends. I wasn't, like, completely super lonely, but, like, I didn't have any, like, I didn't have a best friend or anything like that at this point, so.
Oh, man, I would have been your best friend.
Hey, thanks, guy. I'd be your best friend, too.
Me, too. And I would have remembered what your favorite fast food restaurant was at the time, too. I'm going to make it real oldie moldy in here, but what do you guys think it is like for kids now? Because what Parker's relaying was a huge problem. Like, schedule changes would basically ruin friendships, but now kids have cell phones and can basically text each other in class and whenever. Do you think they're losing touch the same way that we did with friends around those grades? As long as you had a cell phone, you know?
Yeah, they seem to have an invisible touch.
like Phil Collins?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you're in seventh grade, it is definitely a land of confusion for everybody. But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm, like, super old.
I can feel it coming in the air.
Like,
hey, that's all. That's all.
Yeah, like, maybe I'm super old and don't understand kids, which is possible, but I would think that, like, kids today probably don't care either way about who they have classes with or who's in their school, because I would assume that your more meaningful friends now are your dudes on Tumblr and Twitter and stuff. Like,
oh,
Tinder.
Tinder, of course. Because, like, you can, you know, everybody's, like, so compartmentalized now. Like, you can just search hashtag people who enjoy the Ramones, and you're hooked up with 50 people who like the Ramones, to where it's like,
but it's all old dudes like you.
Well, I mean, or whatever you're into, you know. This is
hashtag young people who like the Ramones.
Yeah, this is where I find all my young people who like the Ramones. This is how I found Matthew Sweetman. Search for that hashtag. But, like, you know, you can, like, just, you know, you can find anybody who's into whatever you're into, to where it's like, I had to wait, like, until my second year of high school to find one person who'd even heard of the Ramones to make a friend that way. So I think, I mean, I'm sure people have friends, but I'm sure, like, their besties are online. So they're not
interesting.
Really tore up.
Yeah. I just figured that they have, like, their network of local friends set up already, like, people they met and, like, exchanged numbers with and whatnot. But yeah, what you're saying seems just as true, or even more true.
That's my guess. But yeah, so that was my whole thing. I just wish I had more friends in seventh grade. It's kind of when I started getting into, like, writing and comics and stuff, though, so it, like, kind of evened out. But what is your bad, Mr. Frisbee?
Oh, my bad is really simple. But yeah, one of the friends I'd made in seventh grade was this girl that I would tend to make laugh quite a bit. Like, I was always willing to make
laugh.
I would get her to laugh. Okay. Yeah.
I like the way you make laugh.
I was also Lotka Gravis in seventh grade, so English was not awesome.
You were an exchange student at this point in your life.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I reinvented myself. That was my identity. Some people wanted to be invisible. I wanted to be a foreign exchange student. And I make happen. So. But yeah, there was this girl in that social group who I was close to, and I used to crack her up, and I thought that, hey, this is a pretty good sign. I didn't really know what to do from that point, though, and I thought it would be interesting to see if she wanted to, like, date, because this was around the age when, like, kids would start dating and whatnot, but dates included, like, your parents driving you to the mall and then picking you up later, or chaperoning you there.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounded
super.
You end
up boning in a Claire's boutique.
See, I didn't think that far ahead. I didn't know that that's what kids were doing at the Claire's boutique. So I tried to ask her out, and she got really awkward and was like, no, I'm gay.
And ooh.
I don't know what to say to this. And I just walked away. We were still, like, on okay terms, but it was definitely super awkward.
Were you still on OkCupid?
Yeah, I was on Tinder, man. It was seventh grade. Things were happening. These things that didn't exist yet were already existing.
Yeah.
But yeah, sucked. It was real, real bad.
That's rough. Did you ever like I definitely feel like I told like a girl that I was gay to not have to go out with her. Like, did you ever find out if it was true or not, or if it was just like a
no, no, of course it wasn't. Like, I mean, not of course it wasn't, because it could have been, but still, she was, she did that kind of like awkward clam up thing. Like, you know, I can't think of any other reason. So nope. Or, I mean, I can't just say like, no, I'm not interested, because everybody's awkward at those teenage years.
Yeah.
Including me trying to ask her out. But no, she was dating guys like the very next year, guys in high school and whatnot.
Ooh.
I mean, that's the way it went, though. Like, girls matured faster and
yep,
yeah, all that stuff.
That's true. That they did.
So yeah, party hardy, very very social year, but swing and a miss.
Didn't get to smash that puss.
Couldn't make laugh enough. One might say.
What is your ugly, Kevin?
My ugly was me. I was very ugly in seventh grade. You know, in addition to all the social changes that you go through when you switch schools and stuff, you in seventh grade is a time of physical changes, and it hits you all like a fucking smack to the face. Like, you know, sixth grade, I'm a fresh faced young kid, you know, world ahead of me. I'm like Kevin Arnold on fucking Wonder Years. Seventh grade, I'm a mess. 100 pounds, pimples, braces on your fucking face, you know, giant Adam's apple hunched over, just looking like a fucking mutant.
You look like Ricky Coogan from Freaked.
Exactly.
That's what you're describing. Say that, yeah. I was like Freaked or like a R. Crumb caricature.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say less like Ricky Coogan, more like Stewie when he becomes the mutant at the end. That's probably more accurate.
I see.
But yeah, horrendous. And so, you know, that only adds to your plight as a angsty seventh grader. And then you can understand the, you know, the boom in Nine Inch Nails record sales.
That's true. It all comes together at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You start to understand why very dimly lit movies like The Crow are popular.
Yeah. Oh, man, The Crow was huge in seventh grade.
Yeah, it's like it's dimly lit and I get to wear makeup.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yep.
And there's all these songs about being sad. It's the best thing. So yeah, my ugly is this time I was hanging out with these dudes, Chris and Doug, and like maybe one other kid. And we were very annoying. I think we went to like a Raiders basketball game or something. And Chris's dad was driving us home afterwards, and that Beavis and Butthead episode just came out where, like, I think it's like a Primus video that they watch, and then they talk about seminiferous tubuloidal buttonoids in it. And so we were just saying this, like, over and over, especially me and Doug. We were just saying this, like, just constantly over and over the entire car ride. And so this dude pulls over, and he, like, he's getting all in our face, right? Like, he opens the car door and he's like yelling.
This is some kid's dad?
Some kid's dad, yeah. You know, he's grabbing my friend Doug by the collar. He's like, if you motherfuckers say seminiferous tubuloidal buttonoids one more time, I'm going to fuck you up and I'm going to leave you here. And then we were like, all right, well, sorry. We're not going to say it anymore. And then he got back in the car and then he dropped us off. And that was one of the times that I almost got beat up by my friend's dad.
Oh, I got to hear the others.
Yeah, I love this. This is a series now.
There was only two. Another time was in eighth grade. Eighth grade. Me and my friend Tom had girlfriends who lived in another town. And
they all say.
You this don't other know. Town was the nation of Canada.
No, don't worry about it. They live in another town. They're very pretty. You don't know them.
They're models where they come from.
Yeah. And so, like, they got a ride to come pick us up, and we were, like, going to go somewhere to, like, a haunted house or something. I think it was, like, their uncle or something like that, or one of their uncles. And it wasn't anything that we were saying that was, like, as annoying as seminiferous tubuloidal whatevers. But I don't even remember what we were talking about. But he pulled over, too. And
God damn.
Right in the middle. He was like, what are you guys doing? Oh, yeah. It was Amy's dad who was Tom's girlfriend. And he was like, you guys, you're annoying. I'm going to fuck you guys up. Like, he was like, get out of this car. Like, he was talking specifically to my friend Tom. He was like, you get out of this car right now. I'm going to fuck you up. But it was like a, it was like a small car. And so Amy was sitting on his lap. And
this is an adult talking to a seventh grader, right?
Yeah. Well, we were in eighth grade at the time in this story. And later on, my friend Tom told me that he would have gotten out to fight this guy. But Amy was sitting on his lap and he had an erection and he couldn't, he couldn't do it.
I can see why he wanted to fight him now.
Yeah, he just knew instinctively that there was a guy with an erection.
Dads have that instinct. I mean, I bet he wasn't too thrilled that just his daughter's sitting on this greasy dude with a crustache's lap.
Yeah,
to begin with.
You described him pretty accurately. Yeah, that was.
I'll eat a crustache? Oh.
Well, we all did. Who didn't?
I didn't.
Well, we not all of us can afford razors, Mr. Fancy Pants.
That's why they call me Razor Babes Frisbee.
Yeah, because you started shaving at a young age.
Yeah.
But yeah, so those were the two times we almost got beat up by people's dads.
That's nice. Amazing. I can't believe it. All both involve like pulling over the car, not a threat to pull over the car, but actually pulling over the car and getting out and like looking you dead in your eye sockets.
Mm-hmm. Dynamo, get out of here. Get out this car. And then both ended. Or actually that time we got kicked out of the car. We had to walk home from like one town over. Which
God, really, what the fuck?
It took fucking forever to get home. And it was like at nighttime. But and it was cold because we were going to a haunted house. But yeah, that part sucked.
It does suck.
What are you going to do? Mr. Frisbee, what's your ugly?
My ugly is that this was a year that I went to my first big time rock show. I've told this story before, but it happened this year. I was there to see the Mighty Mighty Boss Stones. I was a huge ska fan as a kid.
Nice.
And didn't get to see them because I got knocked out during, I think it was the Amazing Royal Crowns. Like Dropkick Murphys played, then Amazing Royal Crowns. I got blacked out, the nosebleed, and like felt concussed. I don't remember any swelling or anything, but I was in a bad way. So I had to get out of there.
You got fucked up like that girl's dad wanted to do to Parker.
That's probably where he went to because it was like around October. And he's like, fuck this. I'm going to go to that badass ska show.
Punch some fucking seventh graders.
I'm sure there's some circle pits going there. He was not wrong. There were like kids wearing Marilyn Manson shirts and shit, like swinging around. Marilyn Manson. Like, why would you mosh to Marilyn Manson of all people? I guess it was a thing.
Well, you can mosh to Marilyn Manson, but you can't mosh to the Mighty Mighty Boss Stones. That's for sure.
Or some swing band. That's what the Amazing Royal Crowns were. They're just like playing Hey Pachuco or some shit.
Yeah. Yeah, man, people were. Man, that was back when like moshing was like going crazy. Like everybody was just moshing during like everything, every show for like 10 years, moshing, no matter what it was. Swing bands, the Brian Setzer Orchestra.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Hootie, there's moshing. That one time, me and you, Frisbee, we saw the Aquabats in Cleveland moshing at the Aquabats show.
Yeah. Yeah, that was bizarre.
It's absurd.
Yeah. So that sucked. What sucks about it now is that like trying to remember the event and who might have punched me was, it's getting hazier as I get older. So I don't, like, piecing it together is a weirder situation for me.
It's like the movie Memento.
Yeah, you're going to find that puncher.
Yeah, I'm gonna murder him. I'm going to get that tattoo on my chest.
You're going to get a tattoo that says he really likes the mad caddies. Get him. Find a guy who likes Bucko 9.
Yeah. As long as you get to meet Joe Pataliano, that's cool. Carrie Ann Moss, too. That'd be great.
It was probably Joe Pataliano.
Probably was. Hey, you found the twist. There you go. The twist of the movie.
Now that we've ruined Memento, I would say that that's the end of the show.
Yep. Listen to this episode from the ending all the way to the beginning in segments, like the movie Memento.
That would be funny.
Full effect.
That would be funny if we did that in editing, and then like it just now made sense at the very end. Or I guess that would be the beginning. That would make it less good.
This would be the beginning.
Well, that would be funny.
Well, enjoy the show, everybody.
Enjoy. Thanks, Kevin Moss, for coming on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Indeed. We're going to be back in 2 weeks, as you may know. We do the show every 2 weeks now. In the meantime, you can listen to Kevin Moss's podcast. It's called Junk Food Dinner.
Maybe you've heard of it.
Yeah.
They're new on the scene, on the podcast scene. Episode 1 comes out in like 2 days.
Yeah. I'm going to say this. If you're listening to Pool Party and you're not listening to Junk Food Dinner, kill yourself. Which is code for, you know.
You know what it's code for. Yeah. If you are listening to Pool Party and not Junk Food Dinner, that's weird. Send us an email and tell us if you're one of those weirdos. poolpartyradio@gmail.com. Or if you're... No, actually, I can... If you listen to Junk Food Dinner and not Pool Party, I understand that. You don't have to send us an email. Also, you're not listening.
Yeah, it's, I can't address them at all.
I can't even talk to you guys. I'll let them know I'm on Junk Food this week, that they're not weird. So yeah, email us, poolpartyradio@gmail.com. Find us on the Facebook, facebook.com/poolpartyradio. Find us in the podcast town if you want to look at pictures of our food and nothing else.
Yep.
Find us in the streets. Say what's up.
You can find us on Twitter. Yeah. pretty all right in the sheets. Yeah, find us on Twitter, though. You can find Parker at Final Parker.
Final Parker.
At Cumulus Frisbee.
Do they really have to find you?
That's no, how- I mean, they can just search. And they'll get us. What about you? Are you on Twitter?
No, not. I mean, I have a Twitter just to get Lucha Underground stuff, and that's it. I never do anything on it.
Yeah, you can follow Kevin2Trill at Kevin2Trill. Whenever me and Mark talk about you on Twitter, we always tag that guy. He's just some random dude named Kevin.
So, he's getting all my mail.
Yeah, just find that guy, talk to him. Let that guy know that you like Kevin. So until 2 weeks from now, this is Parker for Cumulus and Kevin saying thanks for having fun.